got some other readers or something. So. Good morning. I believe you've got three readers.
I have, yes. But they'll have to just move across and back, across and back.
On the other lecture.
Okay. On the other lecture, yeah. I think that's
simpler. You didn't need them to have a second
lecture. They'll all be from the same... Well, I don't think so, because no. I think it's in order what it is.
Right. That makes it a bit easier
for
me.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
So they can just step up to the mic and shout.
Yeah. Do you want that?
No, that's all right. I'll watch them, and I'll turn that down most of the time, and just bring it up when they're doing it.
Okay.
If I have that up and you up, it sometimes can squeak.
Right. Okay.
Now, when you'll probably need this.
Yes.
Then,
okay.
I give you that one.
In the vestry.
I'll give you number
one. Okay. Thank you.
It's okay, and it's turned down at the moment. So, and I'll turn it down when you're singing or whatever.
Okay.
So
yes, please.
Switching it on and off.
Now, have I got a hymn book? Yes. Yes, that's fine. I just want to find one or two things. Okay. on. I've got to find John from Broken Cross, and I can't.
I've still got the other
person. I'll just tell you when it is. But there's only one microphone, so it's a matter of just moving across. There, okay.
It's a bit of hearing aids. Give me problems.
It's just a matter of using that one microphone and gradually sort of moving across and back, because...
Probably use one, two and...
Well, you... Yes, you could do. You could have two and then come and use that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell the person on the projection. Good morning. I think we're saying to use two over there.
Right.
And one at the lectern.
Right, okay.
So one, two there.
Okay.
Or... however you work it out. Rob is reading, but I can't find... It's John here.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Oh, that's the order of service. Oh, right. We're using two... Two.
Nine voice two, yes.
And I'm just going to do...
Standing over there.
Yeah, by right. That mic.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just going to do a short introduction. There's one for you to say thank you. It is the real one to pick me in the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing is done. Hi, Bobby. Right. Dashing about. I will go and sit down in a minute. Hi, Mandy. Slight change of plan.
Okay.
One and two will read from the reading microphone,
yeah.
And the third will read from where I usually stand.
Where you are.
Yeah,
okay.
Which saves people moving about. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you so much for all you've done. Are you okay?
Wait till it works.
Did you put all my mistakes right? That's the question.
I didn't find
them. Oh, no, not very then. I'll see you later. Ask them to use their intelligence. But... Oh, please, yes. More prayers, the better. I've forgotten you. I'm sorry. It's good to have more stewards and, you know, get to. I wish I knew everybody tonight. I'd be able to say to them, to the kitchen, but I can do a bit of calls there. Yeah, we've got plenty of time. special for a woman. Circuits are last bit. It's similar when we went to Liverpool. that people who need to be brought to them.
Brought to them.
Okay, yeah.
If you forget it, doesn't matter.
Okay. Do we usually go in?
Good morning and welcome. It's lovely to see so many here, and I must compliment you because whenever it's a circuit service here, you bring sunshine with you, and we all wear our summer dresses. And yet again, I was dazzled as you all walked through the door with halos behind you, which promptly disappeared when you entered the building. But it's lovely to see so many of you here. Please do stay for coffee and join us. It's going to be served at the hatch in the foyer and the hatch in classroom 2, 1 and 2, and then bring it back into the foyer or back into church. It's quite okay to drink your coffee and socialise in church as well as in the foyer with so many of us here. But do stay and enjoy the fellowship of all our churches together after the service as well as during the service. Now, you've been hearing John play on our wonderful organ, which has just had some quite major repairs done to it and can really blast out if it wants to now. The bellows were sticking, so it was either very quiet or not very quiet, but now it can give some real welly to it. So John's been giving us a taste of that recently. And on September the 4th, which is a Thursday, the first Thursday in September afternoon at 2 o'clock, Ladies' Fellowship, John is their guest, and he's going to really let the organ rip, in a manner of speaking, with a variety of music for that from 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock here on the Thursday afternoon, the 4th of September. So you'll be very welcome to join us there. And we welcome Sheila to lead our worship today on a circuit communion service. Thank you very much, Sheila. And I think it's a service with many things happening, and it's going to be very informative and challenging as well. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. In my mind at the moment, I'm thinking of the wonderful services that we had with our superintendent minister, Graham, and I think his thoughts will be with us as we meet together. And of course, we shall be thinking of him as he starts his new facet of his career at Cliff College. I've devised a service of Holy Communion to celebrate the unity of our circuit and our mission to share the good news of the gospel of God's grace. So there will be things that will be a little bit different. And the first thing is that we're going to stand for a moment and we're going to respond to what comes up on the screen before we have the first hymn. So let us stand, if you are able. Sisters and brothers, let us stand together and lift up our hearts and voices in praise to God, who made this world and who gives us life, faith, and hope. We say together, the living God has called us together to witness and in celebration and in struggle. I would ask that you reach out towards one another just where you are, with a word of peace and share the love of God before we sing our hymn. The The theme of our service this morning is Faith in Changing Times, and we sing Wesley's great hymn, Author of Faith, Eternal Word, 457, if you're using the book. So let us think together for a moment why we have gathered here. We have responded to the gospel of God's love for us and for all people, demonstrated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what we hope to do here in these sacred moments, we hope to be united with the faithful of all ages, tongues and races, in praising the God of love this day. And what will our mission be when we are sent from this place and into another week? To exercise our faith by resisting evil, sharing the good news, and helping others, especially those who need us most. So let us draw near to God, who promises to be with us, to forgive us, to fill us with courage, and to be present here and in the days ahead. Let us pray. Creator God, you give light to the universe and the gift of this new day. You bring forgiveness and hope to a world which is broken and seeks direction and purpose. Every day you give peace to the sinner and strength to those who are frail in body, mind, and spirit. Through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, Make us aware of your presence and open our hearts and minds to your truth, that it may guide our path and direct our worshipping and working together for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now we affirm together, Father, nothing in life or death can separate us from your presence and your love. May your Spirit fill us now, so that we may live as Jesus did, always mindful of his sacrifice on the cross, and daily rejoicing in his living presence with us, joining us together in our mission to the world. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we turn in a moment to God's word, but first we sing 157 and remember how God has spoken from the beginning of time through so many different ways and people. God has spoken by his prophets, spoken his unchanging word.
Changing world, age from age to age.
Our main reading comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews. But before that, I just want to remind you of the short parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew's Gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and ploughed in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds may come and perch in its branches. This is the way the kingdom of heaven is sown, but I think it also brings a picture to my mind of the way in which God places faith in each of our hearts, deep in our innermost being, and that faith needs to be exercised to grow. Now, I know that many of you enjoy going and looking round stately homes, and when we do that, very often the tour guide will take us along corridors and through galleries and libraries where on the walls there are many pictures of famous people, famous because they have lived in the house and perhaps added a wing or done something particular in history. And if we're lucky, the tour guide tells us the stories of these people. And this passage that we're going to now hear from Hebrews is the passage which is divided into two for two Sundays in this year. And it reminds me of this because it is a trail through the Old Testament as we remember the many people who had faith in God and who lived accordingly as they exercised their faith. And I'm going to ask Margaret from Galsworth, John from Broken Cross, and Rob from Presbury to read this quite lengthy scripture for us. Thank you.
It was faith that made Abraham offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice when God put Abraham to the test. Abraham was the one to whom God had made the promise, yet he was ready to offer his only son as a sacrifice. God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that you will have the descendants I promised." Abraham reckoned that God was able to raise Isaac from the death, and so to speak, Abraham did receive Isaac back from the death.
It was faith that made Isaac promise blessings for the future to Jacob and Esau. It was faith that made Jacob bless each of the sons of Joseph just before he died. He leaned on the top of his walking stick and worshipped God.
It was faith that made Joseph, when he was about to die, speak of the departure of the Israelites from Egypt and leave instructions about what should be done with his body.
It was faith that made the parents of Moses hide him for 3 months after he was born. They saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's orders.
It was faith that made Moses, when he had grown up, refuse to be called the son of the king's daughter. He preferred to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy sin for a little while. He reckoned that to suffer scorn for the Messiah was worth far more than all the treasures of Egypt. For he kept his eyes on the future reward.
It was faith that made Moses leave Egypt without being afraid of the king's rage. As though he saw the invisible God, he refused to turn back. It was faith that made him establish the Passover and order the blood to be sprinkled on the doors so that the angel of death would not kill the firstborn sons of the Israelites.
It was faith that made the Israelites able to cross the Red Sea as if on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do it, the water swallowed them up.
It was faith that made the walls of Jericho fall down after the Israelites had marched round them for 7 days. It was faith that kept the prostitute Rahab from being killed with the others who disobeyed God, for she gave the Israelite spies a friendly welcome.
Should we go on? There isn't enough time for us to speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Through faith, they fought whole countries and won. They did what was right and received what God had promised. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, we stand on the cusp of a new church year, and the times, they are a-changing. We have two new ministers, Deborah and Stephen, coming to be amongst us with their fresh ideas, new visions, and ways of working. And we ask the Spirit to open our hearts and minds to them. If we have lived a long while, as I have, the world about us has changed so much, and at the moment there is a sense of apprehension, if not fear, as some leaders of the nations seem set on confrontation. We need faith in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. And we are people of faith, so let us this morning ask ourselves some questions. And through the scriptures that we've heard and contemporary stories, think again about what having faith looks like. Firstly, to have faith as a Christian is about believing in some amazing things. The first four words of the Bible, in the beginning God, that he is the creator of the world and gives life to each living thing. We believe that he has created us, you and me, in his image and likeness. And that's a mind-blowing thought, that he is holy. And when he gave humankind free will, they rebelled and frequently turned away from the covenant that he offered them to be their God and for them to be his people. We believe that he sent the prophets and the patriarchs to call people back to God and show them God's way of life, and how they failed. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, and through the virtue of his life and death and resurrection, we are forgiven, our guilt is taken away, and through his ascension, his spirit is given to us, inside each one of us and about us, in our community of fellowship, leading us, guiding us, and helping our faith to grow, enabling us to be new creatures after the example of Jesus. And we believe that when we die, our bodies are no longer needed, but our souls are in the presence of God, that one day Christ will return to judge the living and the dead, and a new world will be born. All this is our destiny because we are people of faith and has been made possible through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Well, when you've got your breath back, you recognize, as I do, that this is too much for any individual human being to hold on to unless God gives us the gift of faith and his Spirit encourages us and that faith grows like the seed sown in the darkness of our being and our response opens up to more belief and more knowledge and more joy. So faith is not giving intellectual assent to a set of tenets. Even the demons that Jesus Christ tried to heal, they recognized him as Lord. No, it's so much more than that. It is the one in whom we believe that is our faith and to whom we entrust our lives, both here and in eternity. And faith is so important because what we believe determines how we shall live, what we shall call significant, how we shall cope, our relationships with other people, and the way we use our talents, our money, and our energy. James writes in his epistle, of course, faith without works is dead, and we must exercise our faith in order that it grows. Like our physical bodies, as many of us know, if we don't use part of them, we lose that part. And so it is with faith. So I want us to ask each of us to think about this question. Where am I on my journey of faith? It's a good question to ask and to ponder the answer. The story is told of Professor Albert Einstein, who was on a journey, a train journey. And during the journey, a very zealous ticket collector came to collect his ticket. This put him in something of a quandary because, clever as he was, he did not remember where he had put his ticket and he couldn't find it. He got very flustered and was full of excuses and apologies. "Don't worry about it," said the ticket collector. "I know who you are. You're Professor Einstein, and I know that you would have bought a ticket. So don't worry. Don't panic." He thought he'd calmed the great man down, but as he left the carriage, he turned back and saw Professor Einstein on all fours under the seats in the carriage, searching diligently for the ticket. He came back and tried to reassure him. "Professor Einstein, I know who you are, and it's quite all right. Don't worry about it." Looking up from all fours, Professor Einstein said to him, "Young man, I know who I am, but I don't know where I am going." Do we know who we are? A child of God, beloved and precious, worth dying for? And do we know of a surety where we are going? Faith is a journey or a pilgrimage. There are resting places on the way, and fresh insights are given as we travel. But the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that we so loved in our childhood, we find is not sufficient faith for the challenges of today. Our faith must grow. When I was a young person, many people, thousands of people, went to hear Billy Graham in London. The scripture tells us that faith comes from hearing the word. Well, at those rallies, people certainly heard the word as it was preached by Billy and as it was sung by the choir. And many people came to faith. But where are they now? For that faith needed nurture through worship and sacrament, fellowship and Bible study, and the commitment of belonging to a community of faith. Today we avoid these things at our peril. Through our commitment to them, faith grows and bears fruit and that faith grows beyond our imagining as we draw closer to God. But our faith and trust in God is not only important for us, but because we exercise faith in our daily lives, we are giving constant expression of God's existence to our families, our colleagues, our neighbours, and to a world which has lost its way. As I cycled to Oxfam on a Monday morning, I passed the Roman Catholic Church, and they have had a notice up for a long while. And every Monday, I think about it. It says, "O taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Blessed is the one who trusts in him." Do we trust in him? This is the mantra that we live by and must share. So what does it look like to have faith and exercise it? First, a willingness to live close to God and listen for his direction and purpose for our lives, which is not always easy. Think of Noah. For months he toiled under a cloudless sky. We know about those, we've had them. Toiling on an ark which God asked him to build. The sea was miles away, and there wasn't a drop of rain coming any time yet. But still he was obedient. Still he listened to God. Still he trusted God. And when the months passed and the floods came, his family was saved, and those who had ridiculed him were lost. He believed what he could not see, and he was faithful. Faith requires sacrifice, and it requires us sometimes to take risks. We heard about Abraham, nicely settled in Haran, with lots of flocks and family, and growing nephews and nieces. Life couldn't have been better. But God said, "Now wait a minute, Abraham. It's time you up sticks and move to where I want you to go." He even trusted God when in his old age, God told him he would be the father of a great nation. And when Isaac was born, he also trusted God that he would find a way to stop him sacrificing his son. I want to tell you about Yasmin. It came to me from the Bible Society. Yasmin lived in Iran. It's a Muslim country, and the climate out there is to destroy, and certainly not to encourage Christians. But Yasmin, a young teenager girl, felt that she hadn't found the truth she needed. She was told by a neighbour, quietly and secretly, that there was a place where you could go, where people had got pieces of the Bible that could be read. And she found this secret place and joined them often for fellowship and came into a knowledge of who Jesus was. But one day she was late going to this secret safe house, and she saw the police bundling other members of the group into police cars to take them away and imprison them. And she knew that she must leave. And so she escaped because the net was closing in. "I couldn't hesitate," she wrote. "I had to escape." She left everything behind and came here to the UK, where she encountered the most wonderful Christian people. She'd never had a Bible, but the Bible Society were able to place into her hand a whole copy of the complete Bible in Farsi, which was her language. And she said, "This is my favourite passage," as she read the story of the prodigal son. "I was lost," she said, "like him, but Jesus found me." Faith enables us to see what happens to us in life differently. And sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Joseph had that experience. He was a pampered son and had many brothers who hated him. They soon decided to sell him into slavery, and off he went to Egypt and his father was heartbroken because he'd made such a fuss of him. He suffered a great deal, imprisonment, misunderstanding, rejection, but gradually, as an interpreter of dreams, he made his way into the court of the Pharaoh. And many years later, when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer and his brothers came seeking food, he said to them, "What you did to me, you meant for harm, but God meant it for good." David was a successful businessman, so successful that business took over the whole of his life. He became obsessed with making money. But one day his company failed. He was ashamed and humiliated. But instead of turning in on himself, he decided that he must offer to work voluntarily in a charity. This he did, and through his diligence, he was accepted, given a job, promoted. And afterwards he said, "God meant that to me for good, for I have discovered things about myself that I am ashamed to admit needed to be eradicated." We are people of faith, and the Bible tells us that faith issues in good works. Let me tell you about Maria. Recently and suddenly bereaved, her family were not close. Maria was a Christian, but she went in on herself. She did not take part in village life. She was ashamed because the tears kept coming, and she felt that faith should enable her to be stronger. But the people at the church, the people of faith, did not allow Maria to be alone. They called often, cooked meals, sat with her and listened over and over again to her sadness, until their faith was able to lift her to faith, and she was able to return, and her faith blossomed. Finally, I believe that faith keeps us going, doing God's work, seeking to share the way of love with others when the results seem small and there is little to show for our efforts. And that happens in big churches as well as small churches. A situation with which many of us are familiar when we think, why are we doing all this? There's so little that results from it. This caring and loving and providing. I want to tell you a final story. And this story is very special. And again, God is good because it came this week and I was able to use it. You've all heard of Hope. Hope Together has times when they invite young people to go on mission, to spend a week staying in a church hall. At the weekend, they are trained in speaking to people about Jesus and are given a gospel to give out to them. Every year, God seems to show up and they have results, things to rejoice in, new souls won for Christ. There was a lady called Bri. She was a youth work volunteer. She'd been in a tough area on this mission. She'd worked hard, but there was very little response. And at the end of the week, she was very tired and dispirited. "To cheer myself up," she said, "I'm going to get a ride in a Uber. I've never taken a taxi, so this will be a new experience." She hailed a Uber cab and got in. "And what have you been doing with yourself?" said the driver. "Oh," she said, "we've been on mission. We've been in Ilford and we've been telling people about who Jesus is." "Oh, do you mean you've had things that you've given away?" "Yes, that's right," she said. It's one of these here." And she showed him. "My wife brought one of those home," said the man. "She's been so depressed. But when she came back from meeting your group, she was smiling for the first time. It's changed her." He said, "What's it all about then?" She said, "Well, if we've got time, I can tell you now. Oh, we've got time, he said, and he pulled the car over. And she told him the story of Jesus, and by the time she'd finished, he too had found faith. A week when nothing seemed to happen, but now there were two people, a family probably, who would share the good news. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. So as we go out in faith into a new year, let us remind ourselves that we do not go alone, but in God's power. In the beginning, he brought the invisible out of the invisible. Out of nothing, he called the universe into being. He gave his son, he died, but God had the last word, and he was raised from death. And he has promised that because he lives, we shall live also, both here by faith and in eternity, in time, in God's nearer presence. In him and him alone we can put our faith and follow his way with confidence. Nothing can separate us from his love, we've said. Let's remember it, and he will not fail us. On the threshold of this new year in the church's life, a year of worship, witness, and service, Christ is still saying to us as to his first followers, fear not, little flock, for I have overcome the world. I am with you always, even down to the end of the age. Go and share the good news in word and deed. Amen. Before our prayers of intercession, which Barbara, our circuit steward, will lead, we're going to sing the hymn 466, Have Faith in God, My Heart.
Faith in God, my heart, trust and be unafraid. God will fulfill in every part each promise he has made. Have faith in God, my mind, for when your light shines low, God's mercy holds a wiser plan than you can fully know. Have faith in God, my soul, his course forever stands, and neither life nor death can pluck his children from his hands. Lord Jesus, make me whole, grant me no resting place, until I rest heart, mind, and soul, the captive of my
The music we've just heard is a verse that was written by David Fellingham. Let us draw near to God. Some of you might remember it. Let us draw near to God in full assurance of faith, knowing that as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. In the holy place, we stand in confidence, knowing our lives are cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. We will worship and adore. I don't know whether any of you to here this morning worshipped at Clumber Road at the end of the 1950s and the beginning of the 1960s. But if you did, you remember there was an arch at the front over the organ. It was, and if my memory's right, these were the words that were written over the top. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If we have faith in God and come to him, he will come close to us. We have been thinking about the faith of the people in the Bible, and it set me thinking about the faith of the people both in Clumber Road and at Park Lane churches. There were the people who had the courage to build those churches in the first place, and then the people in the 1980s who had the vision and faith to come together and to build the church that we are worshipping in this morning. So in faith, let us draw near to God, having the faith to know that he will draw near to us as we bring to him our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Loving Father, we bring to you our prayers, thanking you for your faithfulness to your people throughout history. We thank you for the promises you have made. May we be reminded of those promises and be encouraged to trust you. We pray for increased faith for ourselves and a deeper understanding of your word, that we may be given courage to step out in faith, even when facing challenges and uncertainty. We pray for the leaders of the nations as they make decisions about international relationships. Let your light shine and bring hope to your people. We pray for the leaders of all churches and all the challenges they face in our ever-changing world. We especially pray for presbyters and deacons within the Methodist Church who will be moving to new appointments in the next couple of weeks. We think particularly of Deborah and Stephen as they join us in the Macclesfield Circuit. We ask that you will give them wisdom and guidance in whatever situation they find themselves in. We bring to you the young people in our churches, particularly those who have received exam results over the last few days, and those who are expecting to receive them this week. We ask that you will be with them and that your light will shine on them as they make decisions that may affect their future lives. We bring before you people who feel isolated for whatever reason. It may be the person in the supermarket queue, your neighbour, a family member, the person next to you this morning. help us to have and come near to them. Reach out to them. And through that gesture, may they feel your presence. We bring your people who are mourning a loved one. Lord, we ask that you will put your loving arms around them and be with them in their sorrowing as we name them in our hearts. We ask that you will be with those who are unwell, those waiting for medical appointments and test results. Again, we name them in our hearts and ask that you will be with them as they may be facing uncertainty. May they feel your healing touch and find comfort in your presence. We pray for doctors and nurses and other medical staff as they work tirelessly to care for those who are ill, asking for your strength and protection for them. In the circuit prayer cycle, we bring to you the church here in Poynton. We know you know the plans you have for them. We ask that your people may be able to discern what you are asking them to do, and that they may step out in faith, sure in the knowledge that they are doing your will. Lord of Light, help us to look to you in the coming week. Guide us when the way ahead seems dark and full of obstacles. May we always give thanks, even in the darkest of times, and enable us through the power of your Spirit to shine as lights in the world. In the name of Jesus, we bring these our prayers, knowing that you will hear them and answer them. Amen.
Amen. The hymn before celebrating communion is 294, All Ye That Seek the Lord Who Died, Your God for Sinners Crucified, reminds us of the gospel in which we believe. Please, if you wish for communion to be brought to you, there will be a gentleman at the back and you can just signal and, of course, we will bring it. The table is an open table for all who would come and who would want to share in this sacrament. So let us sing this hymn.
you sit. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come, you who have faith, and you who have little, you who have been here often, and those who perhaps have not come for a long time. Come, you who have tried to follow and feel that you have often failed. Come, not because I invite you. It is our Lord who has asked you to do this in remembrance of him. Now let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He sat at supper with his friends and said a blessing over the bread and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later on, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." And now, following Jesus' example, we too take the bread and this wine, ordinary things of the world which Christ will make special, as we say together, "Lord Jesus Christ, with us now, as we think of all that you have done for us and promised to us, we feel that we have so little to offer you. Our hands feel empty of gifts, and our hearts are often filled with wrong things. We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table, yet we believe that your grace, mercy, and power can change us. We wait upon God for his renewing, freshing power to touch our lives with his grace as we keep silence for a moment. Lord, send down your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us your body, healing, forgiving, and making us whole. Then we shall truly be your body, loving and caring in your world until your kingdom come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All is now ready. So come with joy as beloved children of God your Father, forgiven, redeemed, and set free through Christ. And then when he has fed you, go in peace, for he goes with you every step of the way. Body of Christ, which was given to you to preserve you to everlasting life. The body of Christ, which was broken for you, preserve you unto everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Ruth, the body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ 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 broken for you. Body of Christ, you're broken for you. Body of Christ, Patricia, broken for you. Body of Christ, 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 broken. Body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Christ down broken for you. Oh.
body of Christ broken for you. The 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 body of Christ broken for you. Broken for you. The body of Christ 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 broken for you. For you. Body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ which was broken for you. For you and for your family. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ journey broken for you. Thank you.
the body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. John, the body of Christ, broken for you. Margaret, the body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ which was broken for you. The body of Christ 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 was broken for you. I know that an answer. The body of Christ broken for you. Which was broken for you.
preserve you unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you unto everlasting. Our final hymn, 585, God, whose love is all around us. Say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us and use us, that in you we shall become all that you created us to be, starting now, and to Christ be all the glory, day by day. Amen. And the blessing of God, who is Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest amongst you and within you this day and forevermore. Amen. I'm so sorry we didn't have anything.
Thank you.
thought it was. I thought she sang well.
Well, please tell me. Yes. So you didn't notice it.
Oh, no. Sorry, it was late. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I could hear what you said.
Thank you.